Hello, and welcome to the first 2021 edition of Cromversations. I'm Noah Epstein.
And I'm Alessandra Varon.
How are you doing, Alessandra?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Some snow on the ground outside.
Yeah, it's a little chilly.
A little chilly, and I prefer warm weather, but otherwise life is good, so can't really complain.
Yeah, it makes for good scenery.
Yeah, of course. So this week we're going to talk about the vaccine update around the country, the Biden administration, and the stock market. We will also talk with Darian Dua, the president of the African Caribbean Student Union, about Black History Month. But first off, let's talk about the elephant in the room. We have a new co-host, Alessandra Varon.
Hey, hey.
Welcome to Cromversations.
How does it feel to be here? Thank you very much. Feels good.
So the biggest story over the past year, unfortunately, is COVID. People all over the country are trying to get the vaccine, and right now, Moderna and Pfizer have it. So do you know anyone who got the vaccine?
I do. So my sister is a sophomore at Northeastern, and she's currently on co-op at Tufts Medical with physical therapists. So she was able to get the vaccine through her job. Unfortunately, the list of people I know with the vaccine is not longer than that. You'd think it would be with all of the shots they're rolling out right now, but they're not going to people I know.
Yeah, so I have three grandparents in Florida and one grandparent here in Long Island. Well, not here in Long Island, in Long Island where I live. All three of my grandparents in Florida have gotten both vaccines, and my grandma in Long Island has yet to get the first vaccine. She's getting the first vaccine next weekend, actually a week from today, next Saturday. So yeah, she's been complaining a lot about it. She's been like yelling to me, like complaining to me about how it's like extremely hard to get it and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. I have four grandparents in Massachusetts where I'm from, and I don't think any of them have even the first shot of the vaccine, and I have no idea when they're slated to get it, which is insane to me. My grandmother, she's 89 and still waiting on the vaccine. So hopefully that gets to them soon.
So what do you think Quinnipiac will do to keep the campus safe?
I mean, they've been taking precautions this whole time, clearly, you know, limiting the seating in the dining hall at the shuttle stops, things like that, making sure that people aren't visiting residence halls that they don't live in. Honestly, I don't think that they're going to do anything beyond that, because once you reach a point where the precautions escalate, people start asking for refunds, which they already are. And I love Quinnipiac, but Quinnipiac also loves our money.
Yes,
and
they
don't want to give it back to us. So I think that what we're seeing from the university now is what we're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, it's really off campus that's the problem.
Yeah.
Off campus was the problem when we had the huge issue during Halloween last semester. And off campus has been a big problem when it comes to COVID. So
yeah, I completely agree. One of the biggest pieces of news regarding the vaccine is the Biden administration's order of 200 million doses. Speaking of, as of recording, we are on the 24th day of the Biden presidency. There were many promises made by President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris regarding their first 100 days in office. And while a few have come to fruition, primarily in the form of reversing some of Trump's policies, others seem to have been cast aside for now, one of those being Biden's promise of $2,000 stimulus checks, which has decreased to only $1,400. Noah, how do you think Biden is doing with keeping up with his campaign promises?
So his biggest promise, especially seen in the speech as he was inaugurated, was to be a president for all people. And right now we're in one of the largest political divides in American history. So let's see if Biden could actually bring people together in a way throughout his 4 years. As for his plans and spendings and stuff, $1.9 trillion plan for tackling coronavirus. That's huge.
Yeah.
In his first day in office, he created the position of COVID-19 response coordinator. So clearly a lot of attention to COVID, as it should be. He's signed a lot of executive actions on corona, immigration, equity, a lot on immigration. And so far, Biden has signed more executive orders than any of the last three presidents through February 13th of their first year in office. I believe he signed 38 compared to Obama and Trump's like 19 and 20 through this time.
It was more than one a day.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Wow. And like you said, he's clearly undoing a lot of what Trump did. He's reversing what Trump did. So, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully the unification will come through Biden's addressing of the problems that are plaguing our nation the most. When coronavirus is no longer a problem, hopefully a lot of the hostility that's going on between groups that has been fueled by the coronavirus in large part and the political response to it thus far will dissipate.
So you mentioned Biden's promise of $2,000 stimulus checks, which has decreased to $1,400. So What do you think about that?
I mean, honestly, I would be lying if I said I thought $2,000 checks were ever going to go out to the people. Being as kind of unfortunately politically involved as I am, it was something that I saw as an empty promise to win the Senate. And it seems like that is the case. I think that no matter how much money is going out, it needs to go out to every single American, not just the select few that received the $600 ones way back when. You know, I'm a dependent. I don't know if that's your status as well, but if it is, we don't get any of this. It's pretty inconsequential to us as individuals. So I think that that needs to be the number one thing, is getting however much money to every single person 18 and over. And at this point, we've been in this pandemic for a year, almost more. And $2,000 to make up for the mess, the cataclysmic disaster that has been the last year, $2,000 isn't anywhere near enough. So I don't even understand why there's a debate about sending that to Americans. People are homeless, people are dying, people are suffering in a multitude of ways. The least they can do is send some financial relief our way.
So what should Biden specifically do?
Biden should make it his top priority to send money to every single American immediately. It should have been done on his first day in office. And every day that goes by is a day that he consciously makes the decision to deny Americans of the relief they desperately need.
Within the past month, there was a lot of commotion all over the internet and the country about the stock market. Key figures in the whole GameStop fiasco are set to testify in front of Congress on Thursday. Now, if you're like me, you've maybe seen the movies The Wolf of Wall Street or The Big Short, but you still don't know anything about stocks. So let's have Alessandra break it down for us.
Yeah, so to understand the absolute insanity of what happened with the stock market, you have to know what a short is. So in essence, a short is a share of stock borrowed by investors who sell it and then buy it back to return it for a profit if the stock price goes down, more or less guaranteeing the company they bought it from to fail. So this happens with companies that are in pretty bad shape, like GameStop and AMC. The difference here is that a bunch of amateur stock traders on Reddit noticed how shorted GameStop and other companies were and made a move, buying tons of stock in them, driving up the price, and putting all of these short sellers in a position where they had to buy back the stocks they borrowed at an even higher price, effectively costing them billions of dollars.
So what does this mean for the free market?
So as if this situation wasn't crazy enough, the apps that people use to buy, trade, and sell stocks, primarily Robinhood, got involved in the least free market way possible. These apps made these Reddit stocks, so to speak, unavailable to buy and canceled all recent orders on shares in those companies, essentially putting their eggs in the baskets of short sellers and hedge funds rather than average people. It's worth noting that this decision has since been reversed, though there are still limits on how many shares of these companies a person can buy. So I guess the answer to your question would be that the free market is definitely not as free as people thought.
Yeah, I remember waking up, it was like a couple weeks ago, I woke up to a million tweets.
Yeah.
It was just all over Twitter, it was Robinhood this, Reddit that, and yeah.
Yeah, I have Robinhood, and the app was just going crazy. Like, I couldn't even see the other stocks that I'm invested in. It was just absolutely insane, and the very first day this all happened, I went to buy a couple of shares in AMC just to, you know, contribute to the movement, you know? And I woke up the next morning to find that Robinhood was like, actually, you can't have this. We're canceling your order. And I was like, man, that's pretty messed up.
So what's the government doing about this?
So the government actually seems to be on the same page. Never in my life did I think that I would see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ted Cruz, and Donald Trump Jr. tweeting about the same thing and agreeing on it. That was one of the most insane moments, I think, of the last couple of weeks, like scrolling down my timeline and just seeing all of those tweets right in a row. Like, Ted Cruz directly quoted AOC's tweet and was like, this is correct.
Crazier than anything that's happened in 2020.
Yeah, it's up there. It's up there, Noah. So, needless to say, a lot of people are upset because America, among other capitalist nations, really pride themselves on the free market. It's like, oh, any man can do it. Any person can, you know, strike it rich and make the right decisions. And this completely disproves that. It basically takes this American dream, the capitalist American dream, that is, and says, the lie detector determined that that was a lie. It was a lie. It doesn't exist. So obviously, as you said, some of these Reddit traders are going to testify before Congress. We'll see what happens then. But the government is pissed. February is Black History Month, chosen to celebrate the role of Black people in American history because it coincides with the birthdays of President Abraham Lincoln on February 12th and abolitionist Frederick Douglass on the 20th. With us to talk more about what this month means to the community and how to get involved, we have with us the president of the African and Caribbean Student Union, Darian Dua. Welcome, Darian.
How are you guys doing today? Thanks for having me here.
Of course. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, so we have a couple of questions for you. Firstly, what does Black History Month mean to you personally?
So I would say growing up, a lot of people don't really know much about African, Caribbean, Black history in America. So I think this month just highlights a lot of the accomplishments that we don't talk about. Sometimes people can say, certain groups of people didn't assist in helping America grow. And a lot of the stuff that we see in movies is all based off of slaves. But it's always good to know that we weren't just slaves and that we were also inventors, geniuses, and politicians, just so many things that, you know, you can't really speak of in just like one breath, but it's very important during this time to give them the respect that they should be given.
Are there any certain role models that you have who are associated with Black History Month to you?
Okay, so I would say I'm Ghanaian, so one big person would be Kwame Nkrumah, who actually came to university in the United States and is the first president of Ghana. And something that he's been trying to do is the Pan-Africanism movement. He was one of the big reasons why a lot of African countries started to become independent from their colonizers. And I think he's definitely a very big figure. Another person I would say is very important is Malcolm X. You know, he actually gave me some inspiration as well because even I, like, you know, being in school, sometimes you can be lazy. You may think, oh, you're not on the right path. But sometimes when you look to a big leader of our time and you look a little bit into their history, their background, you start seeing that they weren't the best person themselves. And then you see that if you're able to progress on the right path, anything is possible. And then I would say even my parents, their history is also good as well. I always look to them and see like, yeah, you came from a different country and things were definitely hard, but you worked a whole lot harder than a lot of other people. So I have to be able to give you your respects because your history is my history now, you know, things like that.
That's really awesome. And all of those people deserve so much recognition. Obviously, you know, Malcolm X is one of the more mainstream, for lack of a better term, figures in Black history. I never knew the history of, you know, Ghana with their presidency and all of that. So it was really good to hear about that. Are there any other figures that you personally know about that you feel don't get recognized enough?
It's going to be kind of hard because names is kind of hard for me. Definitely one, if I'm to name some inventions, I'm 21 now, so I can talk about Jack Daniels. During the whole Black Lives Matter protest, Jack Daniels started speaking out about how their infamous alcohol was actually created by one of their Black slaves. And he made the brand what they are now. I don't know. There's just a lot that I can't really name. And I don't want to give someone fully the credit if they weren't the only ones that did it. So I don't want to just, you know, start naming stuff and then someone comes out
with
the facts. Yeah.
So interesting about the Jack Daniels. I went to Nashville a couple of years ago for a convention. And of course, that's, you know, the big Jack City. And so there was a gift shop in the hotel that was just had an entire Jack Daniels section, and there was absolutely nothing to denote that, like, any of that would have been the source of this recipe and this drink. Mm-hmm. So that's crazy that it gets overshadowed like that, being so popular.
Most definitely.
So you brought up Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. So in general, what do you think of the job the Black Lives Matter movement has done to spread awareness in the country?
I think they've done a great job. Obviously, there's pushback because you can't really do a good thing in this world without getting some pushback. I think they've done a great job in letting people know what's going on in this country, and especially what's been going on in the past. I'm not really on TikTok, but on Instagram, I'll see some TikToks with people trying to spread awareness of different pieces of history that are very important to our buildup now. And I think Black Lives Matter has definitely helped because even though the news is, you know, just the news and they're going to try to show the bad that's going on in the world, you have social media to show you the good side of what they're doing. And something a lot of people don't know, Time Magazine just came out with an article, if you guys want to look it up. It says that over 7,500 protests, 93% of them were all peaceful.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and not a lot of people know that. I think that's a great statistic to show that when people come together for the right purpose, anything is possible.
Yeah, those movements were and still are so powerful and so necessary. One of the things that I feel a lot of people are kind of looking toward now is the political shift. You know, with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris taking office, people are expecting better attitudes and just a different way of dealing with the injustices that are going on in the country. So what are your expectations, I guess, for this new administration?
Okay, so I think when the administration was, you know, their names were out there, a lot of people in the Black community knew that they were infamous names. Joe Biden coming out with certain laws to incarcerate many Black men and women and children. Kamala Harris has a pretty interesting track record in California mm-hmm. with incarcerating Black people for the smallest of crimes. So I think the first thing the administration is going to have to do is definitely backtrack on all the things that they've done to the Black community and other communities, and try to make amends with them first before they roll out new laws that's to assist all communities in this country. Because that was one of the big things Joe Biden talked about, how regardless of what party you're for, whether you're Democratic, Republican, Independent, or whatever, you know, their purpose is to help everyone in this country. You know, and not just go for just a certain group.
So we've been talking a lot about the country. Let's mm-hmm. talk a little bit about the university. So is there anything going on around campus, like virtually or in person, to celebrate Black History Month this year?
I think there's definitely a lot going on. As the people on this podcast know, I'm the president of the African and Caribbean Student Union. We've been trying to do a lot to just have fun with people in the community. You know, it's always good to be in a club and to enlighten your members about what's going on. But sometimes it's good to learn and have fun at the same time. So what we try to incorporate in our meetings is, yes, we're going to have fun and we're going to make our members enjoy coming out to the club, but also we're going to give a little section to some history behind it for different countries. So of recent, our last meeting we had, it was called a lovers meeting. It was Valentine's based. So, yeah, we're trying to do a little bit of matchmaking for people in the community. But also, we gave a little history as to how some countries celebrate Valentine's Day in Afro-Caribbean communities. And that's what we try to do. For this university, I think they definitely send out a lot of emails. Yeah, send out a lot of emails. It's hard to read all of them, but I definitely do try to attend as many as I can. And I think something people should do is just, rather than putting it in your mind that you're going to attend, put it in your calendar because you're more likely to remember it.
Yeah, so talking more about the university and getting people kind of enthusiastic about this month, mm-hmm. Quinnipiac consists of predominantly white students. It's roughly 76% of the student population. Mm-hmm. So is there a way that you plan on or your student union plans on spreading more awareness to people who don't regularly like participate and celebrate in these kinds of activities?
I would say the biggest thing that you can really do for that is to tell people, but not try to force people. Because I've, you know, through my years, I've seen a lot of people say, I want to support you, regardless of what community they're in. I want you to support you. I'm going to attend. Meeting happens, nowhere to be found for the rest of the semester. I think it's very important to understand that everyone is coming to university for their own reasoning. And you don't have to force people to do certain things, but it's always good to speak about it. So that's why I always have to look out for emails, because those, if you say you're open-minded, a lot of people like to throw that word around, being open-minded. I think there's nothing wrong with just attending one or two meetings within your 4 years at Quinnipiac. There's nothing wrong with that, because you may learn something new that you may have never known before, or you may become so enthralled in the club that you're going to be like, oh, maybe I just want to start attending every week, every bi-weekly, and go to as many events as I can.
So is the club is open to anyone who would like to attend?
Of course, the club is open to anyone.
That's awesome.
You know, and especially if we see someone that is someone that we usually don't see, regardless of what community, you know, I'm always happy to see that, because it just means that people are starting to recognize us and they want to become a part of something that they may not have known before. So I really do love that.
So what do you do specifically as president of the organization?
I mean, I can give the constitution terms, or I can give you what I do. What I do personally is I like to change things up. If you're in a club, you definitely see how your president acted, and you see different things that you want to change yourself. So a big thing of mine was, so I'm going to talk about first the e-board, and then the executive board, and then the general board. So for the executive board, something I try to do is empower my other members to handle their own business. So when certain tasks or responsibilities are given, all I do is give a date, but I let them control everything in that part of the agenda. Because I want them to use their own imagination as to what they can bring to the club that, you know, people may find really interesting. For the general board, I would say I just bring energy. You know, a lot of people talk about going to clubs and it being so militant with how they do certain things. And I'm like, you know, it is 9:15 on a Tuesday. Do not expect me to follow orders. Like, you know, I'm here to relax, meet new people. Yes, definitely learn something new, but it's just to relax, you know, from all the work that you've been given. So you have to use that opportunity to really catch people's attention so they can stay. So that's one big thing I've been trying to do, especially for this semester being my last.
So you guys meet Tuesdays at 9:15?
So we just had our meeting last week. No, today's Saturday, so this week, on the 9th. So next week is going to be BSU at Tuesday at 9:15, and then the week after. So it's bi-weekly.
So broadening the conversation topic a little bit, are there any misconceptions in general about Black History Month that go unnoticed, or ways that people might think they're being helpful when they're actually being harmful?
I would say something recent that's come into the news is, I forgot what state he's from. There's a person running for a position in office that's saying that he wants to do away with Black History Month because it's, you know, it's unimportant. And I do understand that some people may not be happy about it because it just recognizes Black History Month for 1 month, when Black History Month is American history. But I would say that regardless of it being American history, it's not in our history books as often as people think. So for people to know that it's Black History Month is enough for them to recognize that Black people have made an impact in this country.
So how could we work to extend the level of enthusiasm for Black history that we have this month to the rest of the year? Because as you just said, it's not just a one-month thing. Black history has gone back years and years, and it's extremely important.
I would say the biggest thing is we have social media to our benefit and to our demise. Benefit would be, you know, seeing different things about Black history. Something my club's trying to do is that I let our PR take control of is having different categories every Saturday as to what she's going to talk about for Black History Month. So she can talk about history, she can talk about social media, music, and just a whole lot of other things. It's kind of hard. That's the thing. Like, you know, people have to sometimes understand that if it's not in your in-group, it's kind of hard to keep learning about it because when you look in the mirror, it doesn't really look like you when you read it. I would say just having people recognize it, you know, through social media, through our textbooks, television. You know, Netflix has a new category where it says Black-dominated movies or shows. You know, just trying to delve into the culture is definitely a big thing, but not trying to appropriate it too much, you know. I think it's hard to really be enthusiastic about it sometimes, but it's all about will and motivation as to why you're doing it. So if you have good intentions about doing it, then I say go all for it. But if you have intentions to, oh, I'm going to pick bits and pieces from this and become this person, like, you don't need to become the person. You just have to understand it. And then with that understanding, you're able to break it down to other people who may not understand it. And that's where allies of the community come in.
Well, that's a really good answer. I mean, I personally am going to like hit my Netflix, like all the stuff in the Black dominated section is on my list. And I think that it's definitely something as a film student that I need to prioritize personally more. And I think that, you know, even professors and the administration need to make more of an effort to include in the curriculum year round.
That's all we have for you. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. We
Thank
really appreciate it.
Me.
We all appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to come talk with us.
Thank you for inviting me. As was stated before, ACSU has our meeting biweekly. Next week is going to be BSU's meeting, Tuesday, 9:15. Then the week after that will be ACSU on Tuesday at 9:15. And then Naturally Me, which is learning about all the natural stuff you can use for your hair, body, and eating habits and etc. is having it Wednesday at 9:15 for anybody who's interested.
That's super cool. Definitely have to check that out.
ACSU's Instagram handle is QU_ACSU. If you want to follow me, Darian Dua, I do follow back. So it's D.D.B.O.O.G.17. Thank you guys for having me, and this was definitely a wonderful experience.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, that's our show. Special thanks to Darian Dua for coming on and talking to us, and thank you to everyone for listening to this edition of Conversations.
We'll catch you next time.